Well, most weeks I take part of my Sabbath to come up with a theme for the week. It's almost always a quote, completely random, sometimes scripture or from an inspirational source or a TV show. This week's quote came from Margaret Thatcher, first woman prime minister of England, and here is the quote. You may have to fight a battle more than once to win it. You may have to fight a battle more than once to win it. Now, my four-year-old nephew has been with us for the past 2 weeks, off and on. And after spending time with him, I'm reminded of the battles that some of you parents fight every day. The battle for breakfast, the getting ready battle for school, the I don't like this lunch battle, the bedtime battle, the bath time battle. And as a parent, you probably know that you have to fight a battle more than once to win it. Especially perhaps this week when those battles involve transitioning back to a school schedule. And so as I prepared for today in blessing of the backpacks and read our scriptures and said my quote, I thought and prayed for you. And I hope that your battles this week were easy ones. You may have to fight a battle more than once to win it. There are small battles and there are big battles. And this quote yesterday came alive for me in the unfolding news in Charlottesville, Virginia, where the white supremacist group gathered to unite the right and declare racism and hatred and fight one another and each other with acts of violence in the name of white power. And I thought about how many times in our country we have continued to fight this battle, or humanity in general. Fighting the battle against racism, slavery, civil rights, a perpetual amount of institutionalized racism, perpetuated in yesterday's commentary that allows us to label anyone who deliberately harms Americans under a skin color that is not white as terrorist, and not able to label those who are white as such. We've fought the battle over a different religion other than Christianity that uses Christ in wrong names. And as Christians, we continue to battle and proclaim the name of Jesus. The name of Christianity is that of peace and love and kindness and mercy against the name which is used in vain and falsely attributed to hate instead of love and war instead of peace and the power of skin color instead of the power of unity and justice for all. You may have to fight a battle more than once to win it. And as it usually happens this week, in small things like personal goals and in large things like our national dialogue and fight against hate and racism, I found myself adding an addendum to this week's quote. If you find yourself fighting a battle more than once to win it, you probably need to seek the help of the divine. And whether the battle is small or large, it's probably a good idea to stop and pause and pray and ask for help. Today's readings and our lectionary focus on Elijah and Peter stopping to ask for help. In our first reading today from 1 Kings, we read about Elijah, who has been placed as an agent in a divine war between the God of Israel and the prophets of Baal. And as our prophets are prone to, he was called to do some hard work. And Elijah has been doing hard work on behalf of God. And knowing that he is an agent of God, he has just believed that he has been called and commissioned to God to seize the prophets of Baal and subsequently kill them. And as you might imagine, killing a whole group of religious leaders does not put Elijah in a popular spot. And so he finds himself in the wilderness praying to God, please take my life away. Oh Lord, he says, take my life away, for I am no better than my ancestors. And right before our text for today, he falls asleep. And the story tells us that God sends an angel who tells him to get up and eat and provides some manna-like substance for him to chow on and calls him to journey to Horeb. And that's where we find Elijah today. But even after Elijah is fed by angel food and given this blessing for the journey and touched by an angel, 40 days later, we see him in our reading for today, still fighting his call. Lord, he says, I've been zealous for you. Everyone else has abandoned you. I'm left alone. Elijah, sometimes you have to fight a battle more than once, and sometimes you need God's help. And God did come and help, and God came and showed God's self, not in wind or earthquake or fire, but in silence and in calmness and in peace. And even after that, Elijah is still fighting his inward battle, saying still, God, I've been zealous for you. Everyone else has abandoned you. I'm left alone. And God again gives Elijah words of encouragement and instruction to get up and call for help and shows him what to do next. Sometimes we have to fight our own battles more than once. Sometimes we need the help of the divine. And while I certainly do not think we can read this text or any religious text in that matter as God's will to call us to do harm or to kill our neighbors or fight religious wars or speak hate on behalf of God, we can resonate with the story of Elijah in which God calls us to do hard things. We can resonate with God's call to Elijah to be an agent for God in the middle of a divine war, to fight on God's behalf for love over hate and good over evil and kindness over hurt. We are all called to be prophets of the divine like Elijah. That minute that baptismal water starts hitting your head, God starts calling you as a prophet to do the hard work of God, to fight the prophetic battles of justice, to persevere against evil, to proclaim the good news of Christ, to love your neighbor as yourself, to strive for justice and peace among all people, to respect the dignity of every human being. The minute that water hits our head, we pray, we proclaim that we will fight these battles with God's help. And if you hang out with Jesus for long enough, someday you're going to find yourself in the situation of Elijah saying, God, I've tried to do the right things and be a good person, but the world around me aren't doing the same things. And by standing up for justice and love and peace and your will, I feel unliked and left alone, and I need a moment to take and pause and ask for your direction about where to go next. Sometimes our battles are filled with chaos. Chaos of the world around us, storms around us, anger and hatred and life and political rhetoric and screaming toddlers and actual and metaphorical storms. These are times when we take our cues from Elijah and Jesus and go up to the mountain and stop and pray and ask for help and ask for the divine stillness and calm and peace. This is why we gather today and every day, to come to this place, to stop and pray and ask for help, to go within ourselves and within our community and within our innermost being, to find the peace and stillness and calmness and shalom presence of God, and to pray that that peace and calmness and love and shalom presence of God might come to our neighbors, our enemies, our country, the world around us, and to confess the ways that we have sunk into the depth of the chaos around us, the ways in which we have hatred and racism within our own hearts, and the ways in which God can help us wipe all that away and can continue to take peace and calm and presence of love through us into the world. Like the disciples and like Peter, when the storms around us get to be too much, we are to cry out, Lord, save us, and stop and pray and ask for help. When we find ourselves in the middle of the fight and in the middle of the storm, and we are sure that we are doing God's work, but we feel like we're a little bit drowning like Peter, we stop and pray and ask for help. Lord, save us. And we breathe in the peace and calmness and shalom of God. For as we read today, God is not in the storm or in the wind or in the earthquake, but God is in the silence and in the calm and in the stillness. We are the baptized prophetic agents in a cosmic battle of God's reign and peace and love to the world. The sea that is mentioned today in the gospel reading, in some early Christian circles, was believed to be the place where chaos was held, where forces hostile to God lived, the place where God was not, the chaotic, primordial, deep, dark, void place where God's presence had not yet triumphed. And that battle between the disciples and the sea and God and evil continues to be fought. It's fought more than once. And God is continually fighting for peace. And in the last days, when we read about in the book of Revelation, God's ultimate view of a beautiful time when everything is united, we are met with a beautiful picture in Revelation 21 of a heaven and new earth, where the first earth and heaven have passed away, and the sea is no more, where chaos is no more, where hatred is no more, where evil forces have no place, where there is peace and calmness and love and stillness. At your baptism, you were called to co-create, co-participate, co-minister, and bringing peace and calmness and the shalomness of God's presence to the world. With God's help, may we stop, may we pray, may we be agents of divine calmness, remembering the hope of God. May we sing, "We shall overcome, we shall overcome, we shall overcome with God's help, we shall overcome."